بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, friends and elders, as humans and as mortals, Allah has made us social creatures. The English proverb is, no human is an island. Every one of us intrinsically, inherently, we incline and yearn for a relationship, for a partnership, for a friendship. When Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was in Jannah, he could not fully enjoy the benefits and the bounties of Jannah until he was not coupled with a partner. And it is these very friendships that we embark on, these relationships that we pursue, they shape our thinking, they influence our decisions. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has cautioned us, and he said, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalilihi." Look at the words of Nabi alayhi salam. A person does not embrace the values of his parents. A person does not take the ideology of his siblings, but he is sure to inherit the values of his friends. فَلْيَنْذُرْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. So be very wise, circumspect, calculated before you choose a friend, because in essence you put in your value system on the line. In today's world of social media, I need to think hard and put my thinking cap on. I'm on this chat group, I'm part of this group here, this social network. Am I adding value or am I receiving good? I'm better off without a phone and without a chat group if I'm not getting any good out of it. There can be no two opinions. While an ideal situation is to have a good friend with good influence, but you're better off with no chat group and no friend than negative influence in your life. Salamun ala dunya idha lam yakun fiha sadiqun saduqun sadiqul wa'di munsifa. Imam Shafi said, I'm ready to bid farewell to the world and part ways from the world if I cannot find a good and a decent and an honest friend. 2 weeks ago when I was in London, I met one imam and I was very pleasantly surprised. He downgraded his phone to a simple phone which doesn't have WhatsApp. I said, Subhanallah. And I asked him why. He said, it's just too time consuming and I'm achieving nothing out of it. Hammad bin Waqid said, I went to visit Malik bin Dinar. وَبَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ كَلْبٌ. And as I sat by Malik bin Dinar, a dog came and it was snuffing around. So I felt uncomfortable. Such a pious man and there's a dog snuffing around. So I tried to rebuke the dog and I said, move from here. So he said, دَعْهُ هَذَا خَيْرٌ مِّن جَلِيسِ السُّوءِ هَذَا لَا يُؤْذِينِ. Listen, leave the dog alone. I promise you this dog is better than a bad companion. This dog is not harming me in any way. This dog is not harming me in any way. In Hayatul Sahaba, under the chapter of Kitabul Mawa'id, under the advice of Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, it is written, Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu said, Inna khayra sahibikum, your best friend, your best associate, your best companion, is the one who tells you, idhhab bina nasumu qabla an namut. وَإِنَّ شَرَّكُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ اِذْهَبْ بِنَا نَأْكُلْ وَنَشْرَبْ وَنَلْهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ نَمُوتِ. Your best friend is the one who says, listen, life is short. Let's exploit it to optimum. We know not when we will die. Let's observe, fast, and do something good. While your worst friend is the one who says, you're young and life is great time ahead of you. Enjoy, party, and indulge. Why are you rushing? Take it at ease. In your stride, you can always save yourself. You can always reform yourself. That is your worst friend. We live in a world where the absolute focus is on the external. So those are the influences we are inheriting. While peer pressure might have more relevance to the youth, the adults are not immune from this influence. In Ramadan, I was flying to Australia, stopped in Dubai, passing through a bookshop. A particular book caught my eye. So I bought it and I started reading it. CBT, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, Image Anxiety. The book was on image anxiety. In that there was a caption, and I just quote that caption. 90% of British women suffer image anxiety. 50% of young girls smoke to suppress their appetite. 69% of men wish they looked like others. This is the world in which we live. These are the influences we are taking constantly. Girls at the tender age of 6 have become figure conscious. Where are we getting these influences? From those whom we associate. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalilihi." Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalilihi. A person will inherit the value system. It will rub off onto you. So think hard, think twice, think 1,000 times before you befriend. The English proverb is, "Be slow in befriending, but when thou art in, be firm and constant." Take your time before you choose a friend. Why? Because I'm going to put all my values on the line, whatever I've learned. And when I look at this man, I'm going to take all those influences. The ayat-e karima that I recited is a verse of the 25th juz. Al-akhillau yawma'idhim ba'aduhum liba'adhin aduwun illa al-muttaqin. Friendship on the day of Qiyamah will be reduced to hostility, to animosity, and to unpleasantness, with the exception of those who were united, who met, who interacted, who associated on a note of consciousness and piety and connected to Allah. Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, under this ayah in his tafsir, has written an incident referencing it to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. A quotation. He says, Haddathana Abdul Razzaq an Abi Ishaq an al-Harith an Ali radiallahu anhu qal. That's a chain of narration. Ibn Kathir, you can reference it there and see it. Ali radiallahu anhu says, Khalilani mu'minan. There are two believers in this world. They are friends. Two believers. They meet up, they encourage, they talk to one another, they give good motivation to one another. فَتُوَفِّيَ أَحَدُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. One of the friends passed away. وَبُشِّرَ بِالْجَنَّةِ. He is then ushered into the gardens of Jannah. When he gets to Jannah, due to the good relationship that he had with his friend in this world, ذَكَرَ خَلِيلَهُ. He says, Oh Allah, I'm enjoying all this year, but I have a good friend in this world. Allah, I have a good friend in this world. فَذَكَرَ خَلِيلَهُ. And then he says, Allahumma inna fulanan kana khalili ya'muruni bita'atika wa ta'ati rasulik. Allah, I had a good friend in this world who always exhorted me towards virtue, who always encouraged me towards good. Allah, I ask you, فَلَا تُظِلَّهُ بَعْدِي حَتَّى تُرِيَهُ مِثْلَ مَا أَرَيْتَنِي وَتَرْضَى عَنْهُ كَمَا رَضِيْتَ عَنِّي. Allah, I have moved on. My friend is in this world. The times are challenging. Please, Allah, protect my friend and let him not succumb to temptations and fitnas so that he can also die on a good note and join me in Jannah. A person gets a little position in this world, he forget you, why? Am I going to Jannat? Get married, he forget you. Gets a little promotion, he forgets you. Sayyidina Yusuf was in the jail, and the two inmates were leaving. He whispered to the one who would be innocent, because they were implicated for poisoning the king's food. The one out of the two was going to be crucified, and the other one will be acquitted. And he whispered to the one who will be acquitted, and will be proven innocent, that listen, اذكرني عند ربك. When you go to the king and you will be reinstated as the wine bearer and you will have this honor and glory and you will be part of the royal family, whisper in the king's ears, there's a good man, innocent man sitting in the jail. He said, oh, a man like you, how am I going to forget? Yusuf, you're amazing. You've rescued me. But the Quran is explicit and categoric. When he got there and he was in his glory, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. Completely forgot, not in his wildest, remotest thoughts, that hey, there was a man who helped me. That's the nature of man. But this was such a bond that the man went into Jannah. The hadith of Abu Dawud, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates it. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Lamma usiba ikhwanukum bi Uhud, when your brothers were martyred in the campaign of Uhud, ja'ala Allahu arwahahum fi ajwafi tayrin khudrin. Allah placed their birds, their souls in the form of birds. Taridu anhar al Jannah, they come to the springs of Jannah. Aynan fiha tusamma sal sabila. There is the spring of sal sabil. Aynay yashrabu minha al muqarrabun. Then there is the spring of Tasneem. The Quran explains it so unique that the pious will drink from a flavored drink. They won't have the privilege of drinking direct from this fountain. They will have a drink in which it will be flavored with tasneem. But those that are closer to Allah, they will drink direct from the spring. So they drink from the springs of Jannah. They fly merrily in the gardens of Jannah. فَلَمَّا وَجَدُوا طِيبَ مَأَكَلِهِمْ وَمَشْرَبِهِمْ. When they seen this hospitality and ambience and welcome and reception, they said, Allah, now how do we tell our brothers that we enjoy life here? How do we tell them? We need to tell them, listen, we are good here and you need to exert yourself, so come and join us. So Allah said, I'll convey your message to your friends via my Nabi in the form of Quran. And Allah revealed the verse, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ. That those that are martyred, don't classify them as dead. They are alive, they've been sustained, they are elated, they are ecstatic, they are happy, they are jubilant with what Allah has given them. So he's taken into Jannah. He said, Allahumma inna fulanan khalili. Allah had a friend in this world. Kana ya'muruni bita'atika wa ta'ati rasulik. Wa yumbi'uni anni mulaqik. And he told me constantly, you're going to meet your creator. Allahumma falatu dhillahu ba'di. Allah, my dua in Jannah to you is, please hold him. How often we see and we ask Allah protection that a person loses his spouse or she loses her spouse, or they lose a child or a child loses a parent, and at the point of the demise of that family member, the family is on a relatively noble state. But with the passage of time, we see deterioration coming to that individual. We see a decline in his spirituality. We see things change negatively. That probably if the deceased had to hypothetically be revived and to come back to his house, he would be alarmed by the state of things that have happened. So we ask Allah protection. We don't know what can happen at which time. And we are living in challenging times, fitna, trials, tribulations. Oh Allah, please protect him and let him not succumb to fitna. Let him not be tested by times, by fitna. Allahumma fala tudhillahu ba'di hatta turiyahu mithla ma araytani wa tarda anhu kama radhita anni. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, then the second person passes away. And then their souls are met and united in Jannah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو أن رجلين تحبا في الله أحدهما بالمشرق والآخر بالمغرب لجمع الله بينهما يوم القيامة. If you were fond and attached to someone for the pleasure of Allah, and you resided on one side of the planet and he resided on a different side of the planet, Allah will make you walk together in Jannah. Allah will make you walk together in Jannah. لَجَمَعَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Today there's a lot of negative influence coming on us. And we need to realize and we need to become conscious of it ourselves. So then each one of them would be asked, what's your take on the next one? He would say, نِعْمَ الْأَخُ وَنِعْمَ الصَّاحِبُ وَنِعْمَ الْخَلِيلُ. Oh, this is an amazing friend. When I met him, I met Allah. When I met him, I became conscious of Akhirat. When I met him, things for the better change in my life. Then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, وَإِذَا مَاتَ أَحَدُ الْكَافِرِينَ. And when there are two disbelievers that are friends in this world, one of them passes away, and then he's taken into hell. So ذَكَرَ خَلِيلَهُ. He also recalls his friend in this world. And he says, Allahumma inna fulanan khalili. Allah, I had a bad friend in this world. كَانَ يَأْمُرُنِي بِمَعْصِيَتِكَ وَمَعْصِيَةِ رَسُولِكَ. He only taught me evil. He only showed me wickedness. I learned bad habits from him. I learned bad culture from him. I learned bad inclinations from him. Since I met him, these were the negatives that came into my lives. اللهم فلا تهديه بعدي. Allah, don't guide him. I need him to die as he is, so he must suffer like I'm suffering. اللهم فلا تهديه بعدي حتى تريه مثل ما أريتني وتسخط عليه كما سخطت علي. So that your wrath can also descend upon him as it has descended upon me. This is an active discussion in the Quran where Allah speaks about the mutual arguments and squabbles and altercations of the occupants of hell. May Allah protect us. Oh Allah, it was him. And he will say, no Allah, it was him. And he will say, oh Allah, it was him. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ مَوْقُوفُ يتشاجرون عند ربهم يرجع بعضهم إلى بعض القول. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if only you had to visualize and realize that moment when the sinners and the criminals will be assembled and they will converge before Allah, each one throwing the accusation at the other, this friend, that one, this one, that one. يرجع بعضهم إلى بعض القول يقول الذين استضعفوا للذين استكبروا لولا أنتم لكنا مؤمنين. Oh Allah, he exploited his muscle, his clout. قالوا إنكم كنتم تأتوننا عن اليمين أي بالقوة. With, he always came and imposed on me and he put his pressure on me, I must do this and I have to join this and I have to associate with this here. Allah, let him die in the state that I had died so that he can suffer the consequences that I suffered. Each one would be asked, what's your take on this friend? بِئْسَ الْأَخُ وَبِئْسَ الصَّاحِبُ وَبِئْسَ الْخَلِيلُ. Oh, this is an evil man. This is a bad man. In the 19 Jews, Allah speaks about Uqba and Ubay. The tail, the backdrop of this ayah. So, Uqba had invited the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for a meal. And the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam acceded to the request. When the Nabi of Allah came home, then he said, I have honored your request. Could you give me a yurin regarding my message? So he said, yeah, that's fine. So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam presented to him the beauty of Islam and requested him to seriously consider. So he recited the kalima, but more to appease the Nabi of Allah than sincerely. Be it as it may, he read the kalima. It wasn't long, news got within his social circles and amongst his peers that Uqba has embraced Islam. Uqba has embraced Islam. Comes his friend Ubay. Listen, I believe you've ditched me, you've launched me, you've abandoned me, you've forsaken me. You're no more part of us. What are you talking about? We're still together, we're friends, we're buddies, we move around. No, no, but I believe you've joined hands with the man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, no, nothing much. The man came home, hospitality, courtesy, to be cordial and to be polite. He asked me, he was my guest, I was the host. I felt morally, ethically obliged to respect his sentiments. So more to appease him, I just whispered what he wanted. No, no, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Listen, if you want to be part of my friends, then you need to show me that you denounce him. And I'm not going to be convinced that you dislike and despise him till you don't spit at him. How many youth today, because of friendship, because of network, because of social media, because of influence, they will forsake their faith, forsake their parents, forsake their seniors, abandon their value system, completely blinded by what is on the net, completely consumed by what is thrown out at them. And these are the fitnas we're living in. So this wicked, evil, wretched man makes the nasty advancement, and I don't even have the courage to complete the sentence to imagine how this wicked infidel had actually executed this nasty agenda of spitting or hurling his saliva at the paragon of Allah's creation. Allah speaks about this in the opening verses of the 19 Jews in Surah Furqan. وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. And on that day when the sinner will bite his fingers out of immense regret. Out of immense regret. Oh, what have I done with my life? What have I done? What have I done to myself? وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ. وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ. When a sinner will bite on his hands. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. I wish I followed on for what I had read. I had whispered the kalima, I just had to take it a step forward and move on. يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. I wish in my life I never crossed paths with this person. I never crossed paths. When I met this man, this is where my life went down. This is where I dipped. Today a person is sitting on the phone and is just casually browsing or perusing. And it's so easy. And we are so susceptible and vulnerable to just, you know, be intrigued. Just curiosity. Okay, let me just click on. And lo and behold, there we gone. Gone, into a different world altogether. Gone, completely taken. And it just goes downhill and downhill. Then it's porn and it's trafficking and it's abuse and it's vulgarity. And it's a marriage that goes and it's what and what. Unheard, unimaginable, inconceivable. association, association. يا ويلتا ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا لقد أضلني. The ulama say in the context of this ayah, referencing Ubay, Uqba, Allah didn't say, I wish I did not make Ubay a friend. Although that's the context of the ayah. But the ayah says, Ya waylata, woe be to me. Ya waylata, laytani, I wish, lam attakhidh fulanan, I did not make so and so a friend. So Allah used a general address so that it can encompass and include and encapsulate anyone who associates with an evil companion. Because everybody's fulan is someone else. لَقَدْ أَبَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. He misled me after guidance was on my lap. Guidance was on my lap. Muhammad SAW was in my house. I whispered the kalima to him. لَقَدْ أَبَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. And the devil is treacherous by his nature. خَذَلَ in Arabic means to desert. إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah aids you, nobody can dominate you. وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ أي وَإِن يَتْرُكْ نُصْرَتَكُمْ. But if Allah stops aiding you, Allah stops aiding you, then who can aid you? وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. And the devil is khadool. He ditches you, launches you. Listen, you and him, you can sort it out. Me, I'm out of this whole thing. I'm out of this thing. I got nothing to do with you. There is yet a third relation that the Quran makes mention of. And that is a Muslim who has a friend with a non-Muslim. And I must clear the air. You know, today people are taking ayat out of context. As I was flying up, I had a discussion with a fellow passenger. And I got chatting with him. And do you know, I was mentioning the other day in one of my talks, Islam is this amazing religion. Islam is this amazing religion that it doesn't only give us rights to your neighbor, to your sibling, to your parents. But do you know, the Quran speaks about the rights of a fellow passenger. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. And you must see what Mufti Shafi Sahib has written under this in Ma'riful Quran. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. And be kind to anyone and everyone who sits next to you. And when I read this, I said, Subhanallah. Just look at the teachings. I mean, how often you fly and it's a long haul, and a person that's not courteous or cordial or polite, it can be so offensive, it can be so unpleasant. And if you have a gentleman sitting next to you with good conduct and good demeanor, it gives off such a good flavor. It just reduces the fatigue of the flight. It just makes a difference to it. Was sahib, companion, bil jam, sitting beside you. Some scholars say it's your partner, because obviously she's with you all your life. But in its literal text, it can include this and include that. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَمْ. And show regard and respect and dignity and courtesy. There's an obligation to the person sitting next to you. There's somebody next to you, Islam says, be kind, just be courteous. That's the teachings of Islam. So people are taking the ayat of the Quran out of context. The ulama say that if you want to have an overview of all the verses in the Quran regarding our interaction with fellow non-Muslims, then there are four types. There are four types of relation. The first type of relation is muwalat. Muwalat is where you befriend someone to a personal level, where you make them your confidant, where you take it to an emotional level. Allah says, O you who believe, do not make anyone your personal friend, your bosom friend, your intimate friend, other than the believers. Just as they will not make you their bosom friend, how do you choose to make them your bosom friends? Ha antum ha'ulai tuhibbunahum wa la yuhibbunakum wa tu'minuna bil kitabi kulli. Ironical. You love them, yet they love you not. You embrace their books, yet they shun your book. You embrace their prophet, yet they discard your prophet. Yet you tow behind them and they forsake you. So when it comes to that muwalat, that inner level, that confidant, then do not make anyone besides your own, your bosom friend. That's the first one. I'm not going into too much detail. I'm just talking basically the overview of it. That's muwalat. The second one is muwasat. Muwasat, kindness, dignity, courtesy. وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Just to be mutually kind to one another. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم. Allah didn't stop you. Allah didn't forbid you. Allah didn't prevent you from being kind to those non-Muslims who don't argue with you, who don't drive you out of your faith, who do not expel you from your lands, who are not hostile to you. And tabarruhum, be kind to them. Wa tuqsitu ilayhim, and be fair to them. Inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin. Allah loves those that are just and fair. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's behavior and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sublime character at the conquest of Makkah, he was dealing with fellow non-Muslims. What character he displayed. But today, unfortunately, people completely ignore those verses of the Quran and they take it out of context. Look at the beauty of the Quran. The Quran exposes the wrong of others as well as acknowledges their good. And it is our limited knowledge on the Quran that unfortunately we don't understand these things. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ From amongst the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ If you leave gold and silver with them, they are so honest, they will give it to you. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِدِينَارٍ And there are others, if you leave one dinar with them, you won't get it back. The Quran spoke on both. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi wrote something amazing. He said, the action is worthy of praise. The absence of iman, because of the absence of iman, it wouldn't bring... Everything okay?
Mufti Islam, Swami, no.
Okay.
He was a heart patient. He was in South Africa a few days ago. What happened?
Brothers that are attending, inshallah, they can continue the hadith. Let us keep focus and we make dua. May Allah grant shifa, inshallah. So we continue with the discussion here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes their weakness and Allah acknowledges their good. That is the beauty of Islam. That is the wholesome nature of Islam. So the second is muwasat. Be kind, be fair, be good. Allah doesn't stop you. Whoever and everyone, be good. The third one is mudarat. Mudarat today is even found with Muslim and non-Muslim alike, and that is where you show kindness and goodness to a person to protect yourself against his evil. And that is one of the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said before Qiyamah, you know, we are living in a world that everything has become fake and has become generic and has become of an inferior quality. The other day somebody sent me a WhatsApp, so he said, you know what, give the opposites. Hot, cold, young, old, male, female, original, China. وَأُكْرِمَ الرَّجُلُ مَخَافَةَ شَرِّهِ The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, before Qiyamah, what will happen? People will be respected, not because they deserve the respect, but I rather salute him, acknowledge him, compliment him, so that my interests are taken care of. That is where respect will drop to. A person, it wouldn't be sincere and honest respect. It would be just superficial. Yeah, salute him. No, you're an amazing man. You're an amazing man. He also knows it's fake. He also knows people don't mean what they say. But he will be thrilled and he will be fascinated and he will be impressed by that fake praises. So that is the third level. That is mudarat. And the fourth is mu'amalat. And that is mutual dealings. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had engaged with Muslims and non-Muslims right across the board. Right across the board, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had engaged in dealings throughout the times. Brothers, let us keep focused. Those that obviously want to assist, you are free to go there. But those that are in the program, let us keep focused, inshallah. So the Quran speaks about the third relation, And Allah makes mention of this in the 23rd Juz, that the dwellers of Jannah will be in Jannah. And while they will be discussing, and there will be different things. In fact, Allah makes mention in one verse of the Quran, they will even talk about the things of this world. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. They will say, you remember how we feared the punishment, but Allah saved us and we have been rescued. While they will be talking, someone will say, amen, I had this friend of mine. You know, I had this friend, I don't see him. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَرِينٌ. I had this friend. And this friend of mine used to always tease me and taunt me, and used to always challenge me. Hey, you believer, hey, you believe in Allah, or you believe in Qiyamah, oh, like that. Okay, so where's your God? So what's this? So what's that? يَقُولُ أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ. He always used to ask me, do you verify, testify, and believe in prophets, etc. So they will be talking about him and discussing him, when suddenly Allah will ask, هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُطَّلِعُونَ. Do you want to have a look at this friend of yours? Do you want to see him? Do you want to know where he is? So you will say, yes, O Allah, I really want to know where he is. So from his abode in Jannah, he would be granted a niche and an opening to view the plight and the condition of this friend of his in hell. Let me mention the Quran. قَالَ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُطَّلِعُونَ. Do you want to peep? Do you want to look? Do you want to see what's happening? Yes, O Allah. فَاتَّلَعَ. He will step forward. He would look over. He will peep. فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. He'll find that this friend of his is in the depths of hell, in the pit of hell. Now he'll look at him and say, oh, this, you know, we used to move together. We used to hang out together. Our Saturday nights were together. Our hot, oh my word. قَالَتَ اللَّهِ إِن كِتَّ لَتُرْدِينَ. By Allah, you would have destroyed me if I stayed any longer with you. By Allah, you would have tallahi, by Allah, in kitta. In is in the meaning of inna ya mukhaffaf min al musaqqal. In kitta laturdeen. You were on the verge of destroying me. Walawla ni'matu rabbi lakuntu min al muhbarin. It's the mercy of my Allah that He detached me from your relationship. You went your way, I went my way. Allah rescued me. ولولا نعمة ربي لكنت من المحضرين. In Hayat al-Sahaba, there is a narration in the chapter Al-Dhikr fi Mawaqi' al-Ghafla, to remember Allah in a time and an environment where generally people are heedless, oblivious, unmindful. Two people meet in a marketplace, an environment that's not very conducive to spirituality. You're flying, you're at an airport, you're in a mall, you're shopping, you're at a resort, and somebody starts speaking religion, you're like, hey, listen, you're on holiday, Roman, relax, on holiday. So you're like, almost with your body language, like, okay, yeah, right, okay, keep well, yeah, no, keep well, thank you. No, iltaqa rajulan, two people meet in a marketplace. فَقَالَ أَحْدُهُمَا لِلْآخَرْ. One said, listen, yeah, we came for other reasons, but what stops us to speak a little bit about Allah? What stops us to speak? It's not an environment that's conducive, but let's speak. نَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ نَاسِ. And by the way, the word ta'al, I was just doing some research on the semantics of this word, it's amazing. Ta'al in Arabic is derived from the word ulub. And ulub means elevation. So ta'al literally means when you call in a person, you say, listen, you are down and out, come up to me. This is where you will have honor, respect and elevation. أصل تعال أن يقوله من في المكان المرتفع لمن في المكان المستوطع. And then I found credibility to this argument linguistically in the verse of the Quran. قل تعالوا أتل ما حرم ربكم عليكم ألا تشركوا به شيئا. Say unto them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come up to me, I will read to you what Allah has revealed. In other words, embrace the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will be taken from that low level to that high rank. Ta'al, come my brother. نستغفر الله في غفلة الناس. Let's speak something about Allah. So I met a friend and he started saying, so we said, okay. And we started chatting and we started making dhikr. And then it was a little brief. He went his way, you went your way. And then one passed away. And the other one seen him in a dream. He said, brother, how's things, life, everything? He said, عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفَرَ لَنَا عَشِيَّةَ إِلْتَقَيْنَا فِي السُّوقِ. You know, the one day I bumped to you in the marketplace and in the passing phase, you said, let's devote few minutes and speak of Allah. That was the moment that impressed Allah the most, and Allah forgave me because of that moment. That was the moment that impressed Allah the most, and Allah forgave me because of that moment. The Quran speaks about a person, Waleed. Like I mentioned about Uqba. Waleed was a man with financial stability, prominence, fame. He had it all going in his life. He heard the Prophet ﷺ reciting the Quran. It made an impression on him. And it made an impression on him, and he said, no, I need to read the kalima and change. I need to make the changes in my life. And this is it. We need to make the change now. We know where we're getting good friends from, and we know where we're getting good influence from. And why lose our value system for a friendship that is going to cost us our iman in this world and in akhirah? So he recited the kalima. فَعَيَّرَهُ بَعْضُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Some of his friends started taunting him. أَتَرَكْتَ دِينَ الْأَشْيَاخِ وَضَلَّلْتَهُمْ. Oh, you've forsaken the creed of your ancestors. What is this? He says, إِنِّي خَشِيتُ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. Let me be honest with you. Friends, we are friends. But when I heard this man reading, I promise you, it made my hair stand on end. And when he spoke about the torment of Allah, I truly felt the fear. I felt it in my body, in my hair standing. Now look at the stupidity, the foolishness, the naiveness. One of his friends says, listen, don't be intimidated by this here. You pay me monthly and I will divert the azab in akhirat. I'm telling you, I'll sort it out for you. Serious, yeah. Hey, my friend's got contacts right to the top. He's covered right across. Like, do you laugh at him or do you laugh at the person who was selling him the theory? Who's a bigger joke? But we just fall hook, line and sink. Whatever is told to us, my friend said it. فَضَمِنَ الَّذِي عَاتَبَهُ إِنْ هُوَ أَعْطَاهُ كَذَا مِنْ مَالِهِ وَرَجَعَ إِلَى شِرْكِهِ أَنْ يَتَحَمَّلَ عَنْهُ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. That's the narration of Baghawi. Listen, you pay me so much, I'll sort it out for you. When the verse was revealed, عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرْ, that 19 angels are in charge of hell. So Abu Jahl said 19. Okay, we're strong. I'm going to hold 5. You drop 3. You grab 2. And let us, we'll hold at 19 ransom, and the others, we just let him walk straight to paradise. So Abu al-Ashad, he said, Abu Jahl, you're going to drop 3. Me, myself, I will floor 17. 17, I just need help for 2 people. 2, that's all. Somebody must look after 2. The others, we block them and we send everyone to paradise. So Allah revealed the verse and Allah said, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ إِلَّا مَلَائِكَ. We're not talking of humans and mortals. We're talking of 19 angels. One will wipe the whole earth out. You say, no, you know what? We'll drop him, we'll show him. أَنَا أَكْفِيكُمْ سَبْعَةَ عَشَرَ. Now can you imagine the stupidity of this person? But this is what friendship does to a person. No, my friend told me. What he said? You pay me so much. So he agreed, Waleed bin Mughira agreed. And he started paying his friend monthly. The Quran says he started paying him monthly. Then after a little while he said to him, this is looking dodgy. I'm paraphrasing here. Yeah? Right. But this is not looking above. Well, I'm getting no printout, no reflection, doesn't reflect, I'm paying. Then he said, No, wait. I got to review this whole payment. And then he withdraws his hand. But by that time Islam had already left his heart. And that's all his friend wanted. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى وَأَعْطَى قَلِيلًا وَأَكْدَى أَعِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ فَهُوَ يَرَى أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى أَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Have you seen this foolish person? أَعْطَى, he starts paying. Then after a little while, he withdraws. Has he peeped into the future that he knows this friend can arrange for him in Akhirah? Where are his brains and his sanity? Where is his logic and his sanity? Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, don't befriend a person with two traits. Don't befriend a person with two traits. لا تصحب من ساء خلقه. Don't befriend a person who has evil character. And then he said, who is a person with evil character? Two qualities. لا يملك نفسه عند الغضب والشهوة. Who cannot restrain himself at the time of anger, or who cannot subdue and control his lust and desire, is a man you want to keep far from. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said that do not friend pressure. I always mention the incident of Abu Talib, the beloved uncle of Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a man who supported the cause of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam like no other human. In fact, one commentary of this ayah in the seven juz in Jalalain, وَهُمْ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ وَيَنْعَوْنَ عَنْ قِيلَ نَزَلَتْ فِي أَبِي طَالِبٍ. It's in Jalalain. قِيلَ نَزَلَتْ فِي أَبِي طَالِبٍ وَهُمْ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ وَيَنْعَوْنَ عَنْ. And they protected, يَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ, they defended people from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yet they stayed aloof themselves. Hey, you don't touch my nephew. How dare you come close to my nephew? How dare you hurt my nephew? But tragically, they themselves did not come and join the cause. When the Nabi of Allah found his uncle Abu Talib, and that was after the 3 years in the valley of Abu Talib, and that was where his devoted and loyal and faithful spouse and mother of the believers, Khadija radiallahu anha. And I've been quoting these couplets recently, and those who understand Arabic will appreciate it. We are living in a world where people are blasphemous to the noble companions and the beloved spouses of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many individuals, how many times youngsters have sent me, you know, I was sitting with my friend and then he sent me this clip and he sent me this video and he sent me this link and he got me rethinking, and I'm just wondering, but is this correct? What? Influence. ما شأن أم المؤمنين وشاني هدي المحب لها وضل الشاني إني أقول مبينا عن فضلها ومترجما عن قولها بلساني يا مبغضي لا تأتي قبر محمد فالبيت بيتي والمكان مكاني إني خصصت على نساء محمد بصفات بر تحتهن معاني وسبقتهن إلى الفضائل كلها فالسبق سبقي والعنان عناني مرض النبي ومات بين ترائبي فاليوم يومي والزمان زماني زوجي رسول الله لم أر غيره الله زوجني به وحباني وأتاه جبريل الأمين بصورتي فأحبني المختار حين رآني أنا بكره العذراء عندي سره وضجيعه في منزلي قمراني وتكلم الله العظيم بحجتي وبراءتي في محكم القرآن والله خفرني وعظم حرمتي وعلى لسان نبيه براني والله في القرآن قد لعن الذي بعد البراءة بالقبيح رماني والله وبخ من أراد تنقصي إفكا وسبح نفسه في شاني إني لمحصنة الإزار بريئة ودليل حسن طهارتي إحصاني والله أحصنني بخاتم رسله وأذل أهل الإفك والبهتان من ذا يفاخرني وينكر صحبتي ومحمد في حجره رباني. If you knew this in Arabic, your hearts would have burst. The poet speaks on behalf of Aisha radiallahu anha. Inni aqulu mubayyinan an fadliha. I speak narrating the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha. Wa mutarjiman bi lisaniha. Wa mutarjiman bi qawliha an lisani. Ya mubghidi. Ya mubghidi. Oh, the one who despises Aisha radiallahu anha. La ta'ati qabra Muhammadi. Do me a favor, don't come to the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because you need to know that's my house. You need to know that's my house. You hate me and claim that you love my Nabi. There's a dichotomy. There's inconsistency. There's contradiction. It's impossible. لا تأتي قبر محمدي فالبيت بيتي والمكان مكاني. It's my house. إني خصصت على نساء محمدي. I have the privilege over all the spouses of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم بصفات with attributes تحتهن معاني وسبقتهن إلى الفضائل كلها. And Allah has given me all these privileges. فاليوم يومي والعنان عن مرض النبي ومات بين ترائبي. Allah chose the Nabi of Allah to fall ill on my day, in my house, in my lap. And then you hate Aisha radiallahu anha. أنا بكره العذراء. I'm the only unmarried woman that the Prophet of Allah got married to. زوجي رسول الله لم أر غيره. I am the only person from all the spouses of the Nabi of Allah who was only wedded to him, who had no previous husband. زوجي رسول الله لم أر غيره. الله زوجني به وحباني وأتاه جبريل الأمين بصورتي فأحبني المختار حين رآني. The hadith of Bukhari, Jibreel came and told the Prophet of Allah and showed the Nabi of Allah the picture and the image of Aisha radiallahu anha and said, Allah has chosen this woman to be your spouse. And when the paragon of Allah seen me, he said, I love this woman and I want to marry her. And today you speak ill against Aisha radiallahu anha. وَاللَّهُ خَفَّرَنِي وَعَظَّمَ حُرْمَتِي وَعَلَى لِسَانِ نَبِيِّهِ بَرَّانِي. When Aisha radiallahu anha was accused, and the incident is long, I'm not going to go into all these couplets, but just speaking on this, because this is the kind of influence that is happening. People are just taken. So she said, in the heart of hearts, I knew Allah is going to exonerate me and prove my innocence. But I thought myself to be to the level that the Prophet of Allah will have a vision or a dream or Jibreel will come and talk. I never had the faintest idea that I enjoy such status and recognition in the court of Allah that Allah will afford me verses in the form of Quran. I was pleasantly surprised when the Quran came down to say that lo and behold, this is the position. Anyway, when the Prophet of Allah came out of the valley of Abu Talib and his devoted spouse Khadija radiallahu anha stayed with him there. And then Abu Talib had fallen ill. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Talib, he said, oh my uncle, whisper in my ears. Oh my uncle, whisper in my ears. That's it. And then he said this thing here. He said, oh my nephew, it's not like I don't know what you say is the truth. I am more convinced about the veracity of your message than anyone else. But I'm just worried, what will my friends say? What will my friends say? What will my friends say? The Nabi of Allah said, Oh my uncle, read. He said, oh my nephew, I know what you're saying is, but what will my friend say? And this is in the Hasha and the footnotes of Jalalain. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِّنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِّنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ. I know for a fact that there isn't a more nobler religion than the teachings of my nephew. But if it wasn't the fear of the potential criticism of my peers, I would have accepted your faith. But I don't want to offend them, so I'm sorry, my nephew, I'll die on their values. The brain just freezes, and you cannot possibly comprehend the gravity of this test in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah in His wisdom knows best, and that's the full stop. We don't go beyond this point here. But the lesson is great, and the lesson is profound. He categorically, unequivocally, explicitly spelt it out. That I know what you're saying, but my friends, what are my friends going to say? What are my peers going to say? What are my colleagues going to say? What are my associates going to say? I remember there was a friend of mine who was very close to me in London, and he used to make a lot of khidmat and that. So I spoke to him about his garment not dangling below his ankles. And he says, no, I know that, but you know, in the corporate environment, you know, people are watching you. And how do you do it? Musahiq bin Rabi' bin Qais al-Kinani. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sends him to the Roman Emperor. The Emperor receives him and acknowledges him, and he sits him on a golden throne. So in his simple nature, he didn't realize, he sat down, and while talking, this is good, he got off midstream. Now he said, no, camera is here, people are here, there's a big meeting here, we're striking a deal here. You know, if this thing comes right, you take in 10 years, I'm sorted out, my mind, you know. So I just thought, space myself, monitor myself, look after it here. My interests were, I wanted to, you know, people, now I want to grow so we can employ more Muslims, so we can give more zakat. You know, what tricks people have, man? What ideas, man? You compromising your first salah now, and you want to potentially employ more people and generate more revenue and pay more zakat. You abandoning the order at the time. So he got off immediately. So the Roman emperor said, "Lima nazalta an hadha alladhi akramnak?" You know, people die to look at this throne, never mind sit on it, and you getting off it. He said, "I don't know about the others, but my prophet told me I can't sit on it. My prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said I cannot sit on it." So anyway, coming back to the words of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, what did Imam Ghazali say? Do not befriend a person with two traits. What are the two traits? That he cannot control himself at anger, and the second thing is he cannot suppress his desire. His desire, his lust consumes him totally. In Tanbih al-Ghafilin under Kitabu Kadhm al-Ghayz, you know, we always talk of the damsels of paradise, and we always talk about the woman of paradise. But do you know what's their dowry? The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is quite categoric. مَنْ كَظَمَ غَيْضًا وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَن يُنَفِّذَهُ دَعَاهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِقِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُخَيِّرَهُ مِنَ الْحُورِ الْعِينِ مَا شَاءَ. If you restrain your anger, then Allah says on the day of Qiyamah, you will not be given one woman of Jannah, or you will not be given a particular. You, because of restraining your anger, will be given the choice to choose the number and the type of woman you want. We always talk of a Jannah, but what we need to do to achieve it, that we don't. And I'm going to share with you something very amazing I read in the third juz in Surah Ali Imran. Look at this, the amazing exploration of the ayah. So Allah speaks about the things of this world, our temptations. What is it? زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. We are attracted to beauty and adornment. Woman, sons, hoarded treasures, branded horses, and the things of this world, the amenities. Allah says, this is what's part of us. We all like it, we attract it. That is why when wealth came to Medina, these words of Umar, they just, you know, give me an amazing feeling. Umar said, Allah, the wealth has come in this to our lap. I'm not going to claim piety and say I don't like it. It's part of my nature. I am attached to it. I'm going to ask you, give me the ability to spend it in a manner that you pleased. I'm not going to say, hey, money. No, Sheikh, keep it away from me. Look at his brother, man. He's got inclination to woman like you don't. Look at Sahaba, they were honest, they were candid. Allah, I'm not going to say I don't like this money. Allah, I'm attached to it. I'm saying, allow me in my attachment to spend it. I read another thing amazing the other day. Oh my word. Listen to this here. It's in Madarik al-Tanzeel in the fifth juz. There are four types of people, the ulama say. You have Bakhil, you have Shahih, then you have Jud, and you have Sakha. Bakhilun alladhi ya'kul min malihi wa la yu'kal. He's a person who eats from his own money, nobody else must eat. This is mine. I achieved it. It's mine. My sweat, my ability. You're not going to get anything mine. The second one is shahi. La ya'kul wa la yu'kal. He hoards his money so much. His passion is only to die with a hefty asset. So he is such a miser that he doesn't eat and he doesn't allow anyone to eat. So he doesn't use his money. And really, when it reaches a certain level, if you don't spend, you can't use it. It comes to a point, now you can't part with it and you can't use it. That is shahih. Then the third one is Jud. Jud is Ya'kul min malihi wa yu'kal min malihi. He eats from his money and others also eat. But then there's one greater than this. La ya'kulu min malihi wa yu'kalu min malihi. That whatever he got, he doesn't eat, but he feeds everyone. And people tell him eat, he says the thrill of hosting is greater than eating. The passion and the pride of feeding is greater than consuming. So Allah gives him a different flavor. His joy is now, he doesn't eat from his own. He says, no, we ate, we had enough. Now feed the creation. I said, when I read this, I said, subhanAllah, this is amazing. And the Quran said, وَمَنْ يُوكَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ. If you are rescued from that inner condition of greed, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That is success. So anyway, in Tanbihul Ghafilin, under the chapter of controlling your anger, there's an incident mentioned there that Sayyidina Musa met with Iblis. Now there are two kitabs I've come across. One is the Anbiya meeting angel of death, and the other one is the Anbiya meeting the devil. And they are dialogues. The different prophets had dialogues with the angel of death. Different dialogue. And the one is in Muslim Sharif of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that is well known. And there are many other dialogues. There's a dialogue in Tanbihul Ghafilin of Sayyidina Yahya with the devil. And Sayyidina Yahya asked the devil, how do you mislead people? He said, there are different categories of people. There's one type like you, O Yahya, just doesn't come in our grip. And then the other one that's completely vulnerable to us. كَالْكُرَةِ فِي أَيْدِي سِبِيَانِكُمْ, like how a ball is in the hand of your child. He can kick it, he can flip it, he can hit it, he can do anything. That's how I have absolute control over some individuals. It's not will they sin, it's what sin they're going to do. I've decided and they're completely in my grip. The Quran speaks about these people that their spiritual immunity is so weak. You know, sometimes a person's physical immunity is so weak that he is susceptible to any virus. A little, someone sneezing next to him and then he picks up a flu or he picks up a bug. Allah says these people's spirituality is so low. كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ مَنْ تَوَلَّاهُ فَأَنَّهُ يُضِلُّهُ وَيَهْدِيهِ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ يَتَّبِعُ كُلَّ شَيْطَانٍ مَرِيدٍ, that he is so weak in his spirituality that any devil with any temptation, with any provocation, he succumbs. Anybody comes and offers him anything, he's bought. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. Remember, the viruses will continue. You weren't able to change it. You have to boost your immunity. You've got to make your immunity resilient. You've got to up yourself up so you become resilient to the vices and to the bugs that are around there. So anyway, Sayyidina Musa meets with Iblis. And Iblis says to Musa, "Oh Musa, you speak to Allah. Ask Allah, I want to repent." Musa alayhi salam is, wow, I mean, the devil repents, my brother, it's done deal. You can't get it better than that. It reminds me of an incident that's mentioned in Nafhatul Arab, where there was a particular person who used to give discourses, public lectures. So one day he made the most strange utterance. He said, "I got the best news you've ever heard." People said, "Tell us." He said, "Mata malakul maut. The angel of death has died." The angel of death has died. What are you saying? Now look at this here. It's hilarious, but look at the thought-provoking sentiments. He said, "Inna tashtakin," this was the name of the person. There was a man who had hit the 90 mark. He had purchased a land adjacent to the Tigris River. And he was going to develop this. This man is 90 years of age, and he's developing this year. His action is a stark reflection of the fact that there's no death. You can't be 90 and still inclined to this world only if you believe that you won't die. There was a time one person's one action reflected no death. Today every man's every action is a reflection there's no death. And today everybody's young. They say men lie about their income, women lie about their age. Well, before I got married, what she told me, he told me he earned so much, and she told me she's so young. Then when I opened up, he said, "Hey, yeah." Women lie about their age. They say the best 10 years of a woman is between 29 and 30. The best 10 years of a woman, she doesn't move. Two things. That, and they say a man's "I'll be back in 5 minutes" is like a woman's "I'll be ready in 5 minutes." I'm back, I'm just here. 5 minutes, I'm home, yeah, I'm home. But it's like a woman's "I'll be ready in 5 minutes." Everybody's young. O Nabi of Allah, we've seen some white hair on your blessed beard. Oh, شَيَّبَتْنِ الْهُودُ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. The Surah Hud has made this hair white. And the ulama say it's not the whole Surah Hud, it's one ayat in Surah Hud. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتُ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, diligently comply to what Allah has told you and remain firm on it forever till you meet your Lord. This ayat of remaining firm and holding on to it regardless of what the situations are, this ayat has made my hair white. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had more white hair than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abu Bakr and the Nabi of Allah came to Medina, then obviously people had heard about the Nabi of Allah, but they had not seen. So for a moment there was a sense of confusion that who was the Nabi of Allah. Now sometimes you have people that travel with a scholar and people wrongly assume them and they enjoy their moments. You know what? It's like, salaam alaikum, alaikum salaam. Request for dua, Allah. Okay, I'll make dua. Is that the sheikh? No, he's the driver. So desperate. Say, brother, jazakallah, but the way you're greeting me, you're thinking I'm the sheikh. Really, I'm not. That's the man. Yeah, listen, I'm not the person. Yeah, you're welcome to greet me. I don't have a problem. But like you're receiving at the airport, there's this whole entourage and cavalcade and everyone back and forward. It's like, who, he, no, yeah, what? You know what? يُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا. Wow, man, read Quran, man. My heart just cries. Allah said, there are these type of people. They love praises for things they don't achieve or do. They're so desperate, they love recognition. They haven't done or achieved it. وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا. I told you the English saying, some of us boast of our ancestors as if we were responsible for their achievements. Some of us boast of, you know where my lineage goes up to. Like you made him who he was. Anyway, the devil said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, oh Musa, ask Allah to please accept my tawbah. Musa alayhi salam was very happy. He said, oh Allah, inna iblis khalqum min khalqik. The devil is your creation. He's repenting to you, oh Allah. Please accept his repentance. Allah said, innahu la yatub. Oh Musa, he's not going to repent. So Musa alayhi salam said, no Allah, but he is insisting that he wants to repent. Allah said, oh Musa, if he really wants to repent, then very simple, his crime was he didn't prostrate to Adam. He must go to the grave of Adam, make one sajda and I'll wipe the slate. I was quoting this hadith and I cry when I quote this hadith. This hadith, we've heard it a lot, but the point that I want to draw your attention to. Allah says, oh my son, servants, if you had to do wrong until your wrong reached the skies, you did so much evil, so much vice, so much transgression that it reached the skies. ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي. Then you sincerely repented to me. Focus on this part, your brother. This is very important. غَفَرْتُ لَكْ. I will forgive you. وَلَا أُبَالِي. These are the words of the hadith that give me an amazing feeling. My servant, I'm going to forgive you and I won't rave about how I forgave you. I'm not going to rave about this. Hey, you know how much wrong you did. You really don't know, you know? Today when man forgives, there's a taunt, there's an insinuation, there's a comment, there's a remark, there's a gesture, there's a hint, there's bitterness, there's condescending, there's derogatory, there's inflammatory. There's so much that comes out and you're like, have you forgiven me or not? Have you forgiven me or not? No, I have forgiven you, but I can't move ahead. You're playing with semantics here, man. You're playing with words. Oh, my servants, listen, I will forgive and I won't rave. And that's not all. Immediately, I will erase it from the memory of the angels who captured it. Immediately, I will delete it from the earth on which it was perpetrated. So when you come before me, nobody but nobody can tap into your archives and bring it to the fore because I've wiped it out. This thing, Allah knows how much I cry. Sometimes you have an interaction, your own spouse, your own partner, your own parent, you know, I forgave you. Moro petno kado. Because you were born here, you are part of me. But I know how you love your wife, and I know what you've done, and I know where your passion is, and I know where your inclinations are. And we lose that. Allah says, غَفَرْتُ لَكْ. Oh my servant, I will forgive you. وَلَا أُبَالِي. وَلَا أُبَالِي. وَلَا أُبَالِي. It's done. It's over. Now come, finish. It's over. You see, some people, they have a generous hand. They can give you and it's done. And others will give you something small and remind you 10 times. Anyway, we come back to this incident. Allah Ta'ala told Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu was salam that, "Oh Musa, you tell the devil, you must go to the grave." Imagine the devil. Can you imagine? You cannot comprehend the evil of the devil, the extent of the devil, the arrogance of the devil. "He must go to the grave of Adam, one sajda, and it will atone and compensate and expiate all his wrong." Musa alayhi salam is elated, he's overwhelmed. He said, "Subhanallah, a simple thing like this, oh, the devil will do it." Of course, it's very easy. So Musa alayhi salam comes to the devil and he says, "Listen, it's done." He says, "What's it?" He says, "Just go to the grave of Adam, one sajda." "Lam asjud lahu hayyan, asjud lahu mayyita." "I did not prostrate to him when he was a human and he had respect and he was alive. You think I'm going to prostrate to him when he's dead? Nah, you forget about it. Forget about it." What's the English saying? Anger gets us into problems, but pride keeps us there. You say, "Hey, in a fit of rage I said it." But no problem, backtrack, apologize and revoke, and then you, "Nah, you know what? You know what's my surname? We don't apologize. You don't know us. My grandfather said one thing, we don't ever apologize. We come from a different breed. We come from a different class." Oh, okay, your class is different. Anger gets us into problems, but pride keeps us there. We don't move because of our pride. So then, coming back to what did Imam Ghazali said, don't befriend a person with two evil traits. What were the traits? The person who cannot control his anger, and the person who cannot restrain his lust. So then the devil said to Musa, "Oh Musa, you've been very kind to me, and I appreciate your intercession. مَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً حَسَنَةً يَكُنْ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْهَا وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً سَيِّئَةً يَكُنْ لَهُ كِفْلٌ مِّنْهَا I just have a flash of that one ayah that I wanted to mention. It comes back to my mind, so I'll say it. That I was speaking, when you control your anger, then Allah will give you the woman of Jannah. So I mentioned that Allah speaks about our attraction. I come back to this narration, inshallah. Our attraction towards women, towards amenities. Then Allah says, these are the things of this world. These are the embellishments of this world. But wait, hang on. I got something better in Akhirah. Look at the amazing, how the Mufassirin unpack this ayah. قُلْ أَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ Must I not tell you of something greater than all these things of this world? لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ Those who fear Allah by their Lord. Jannat, gardens, تجري من تحتها الأنهار Rivers flow beneath it. وَأَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ And pure spouses and partners. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ And the joy of Allah. وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ And Allah is watching His servants. The scholars say so unique. Allah said, in this world you love women, you love wealth, you love sons, you love your assets. Then Allah said, I will tell you of something greater than this. But when Allah discusses the greater thing, Allah doesn't say, I have better assets, I have better sons, I have better amenities. Allah only says, I have better women. Allah is saying, قُلْ أَوْنَبِّيُكُمْ If you understand what I'm saying, these are the things you love in this world. Must I not tell you of something greater than all of this here? قُلْ أَوْنَبِّيُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ Better than all of this. But then in the comparison, Allah doesn't give you more money or better assets or greater children. Why? The scholars tell us that if there's something a man loves by his very nature, it is woman, a spouse and a partner. Wealth is not something he loves per se. He loves wealth for the ease that the luxuries it brings. He loves sons, not literally, sons so that they are around me, so that, now my son called me in Dubai, my other one told me I must come to New York. But one day, so we are now, we of that age, me and the old lady, we keep on moving around. So it's not the sun, it's the ease, it's the comfort, it's the relaxation, it's the luxury of moving to them. That's the pleasure and the pride that you have. So in Jannat, everything will be done for you. So there will be no need for wealth. There will be no need for sons because everything will be found for you. There will be no need for assets but everything. But yes, it is part of a man's nature that he would love to have a spouse and a partner. And hence the Quran singles out that from all your inclinations, that as you have that passion, we will give you the same wife and other woman. I must qualify this because a woman will misunderstand this ayah. So what are you trying to say? Let me just qualify and cover my back properly. Yeah? That the scholars say that better woman includes the woman of this world. And what it means, better and more wholesome, purer, they wouldn't have any form of unpleasantness. As a man in Jannah will be given, as we learn from the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ, that he would have Miladu Isa, the age of Isa alayhi salam, Qalbu Ayyub, the heart of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, Husnu Yusuf, the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Qamatu Adam, the height of Adam alayhi salam, Khuluqun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Jurdun Murdun, no hair on the face, no hair on the body, Mukahaleen, surma in the eyes, Ji'adun, the hair slightly curled, because that's how the blessed hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was. It wasn't curly, it wasn't straight, it was straight with a slight twist. That is how his blessed hair sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he naturally had a middle path. Sahaba say it was naturally. He didn't take pride in creating the middle path, but naturally the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, man kana lahu sha'run falyukrimhu. If Allah has given you hair, then take care of your hair. These are the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they will have these beauties, that is the men. Likewise Allah will bless the woman. What would be the song of the woman of Jannah? Ala wa nahnu al-khalidatu fala namutu abada wa nahnu an-na'imatu fala naba'asu abada wa nahnu al-muqim فلا نرحل أبدا ونحن الراضيات فلا نسخط أبدا توبى لمن كان لنا وكنا له. We young, we won't age. We happy, we won't become angry. We are with you, we will never forsake you. This will be the song and the hymning of the woman of Jannah. So Allah says, from all the things of this world, Allah will bless you with that, because everything else in this world is not an object per se. And you ask a man who has wealth, but his health restrictions are such that the dog in his house eats better food than him. His dog has, you know, anything and everything, and he's on a diet in the morning and the afternoon and the evening. Then all that wealth, of what good is it? What good is that wealth? So anyway, coming back to this point, the devil refuses. And he says, no, I'm not going to prostrate to Adam. I didn't do it when he was alive. Where am I going to do it when he passed it? But O Musa, I accept your intercession and I feel morally and ethically obligated to you. And I'm going to whisper three of my secrets to you. And take care of yourself, because this is the time where the greatest of people fall. Uzkurni hina taghdab. Look after yourself at the time of anger. Because literally I take control over man. I take control. How many talaqs today are taking place? Not because of serious problems, but just because of losing themselves in a fit of rage. So it's not like, you know, there was a build up, there was a feud, there was an argument, and it was inevitable. It was just a matter of when. We can understand that okay, it happened ugly, irrationally, but it happened. But there are many divorces that are not happening like that. It was a normal day and it was a common argument. It was the usual argument. But it was just provoked. Just provoked. And either of them couldn't discipline and backtrack and restrain themselves. And he blurted and there it went. There it went. You know, I was talking the other day, Islam is that beautiful religion that advocates kindness in every situation, even kindness in the face of hostility. And the verses of the Quran are brimming with this here. So it's very kind. It's very easy to be kind to someone you have a good understanding. But how many of us can be kind with someone with whom we terminate in a relation, with whom we dissolve in a partnership, with whom we end in a relationship? How many of us can be kind? The Prophet of Allah said, when you're in battle, be kind. When you slaughter, be kind. Slaughtering, battle, by its very nature, it's crude, it's unpleasant, it's not pleasant. The Prophet of Allah said, be kind in the midst of that as well. So he passes by a person slaughtering, and he was a bit harsh to the animal. He said, are you killing this few times? How many times do you want to kill this animal? Turidu an tumitaha mawtad. So although the exercise of slaughtering, and today we talk of, you know, the animal organizations and welfare and protection act and whatever it is, if you look at the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he elevated and brought dignity not to human race but to the animal race by one statement: ittaqullaha fi hadhihi al-baha'im al-mu'jama. Fear Allah in these dumb animals. They speak not to you but they speak to Allah. How many times a camel came, O Prophet of Allah, my master is... Nabi Sassam said, who's the master? If you read in Bidayah, the narration is there under the chapter of the miracles. Nabi Sassam said, this camel has complained to me. This camel has complained to me that the owners are ill-treating it. Be kind to this animal. Be kind to this animal. So, O Musa, take care of yourself at the time of anger. There's an incident mentioned also in Tanbihul Ghafilin. A person went in and he had left his horse outside and he left his slave. Then when he came out, his slave had done something deliberately to provoke him. He literally decided to slay one leg of the horse. Just malicious, obnoxious, nasty. You know, sometimes children are just, you know, cherwa mange. It's just like irking you. It's just like pushing your buttons. And we play into the tantrum. We play into the, they are provocative and we play into the tantrum. So he came out, he said, why you did this? He said, to anger you. Blatant, cold, literally. So he said, okay, I'm going to rise one beyond. I'm not going to anger you. But I'm going to anger the one who provoked you to anger me, and that's the devil. I mean, you know how much courage it takes at that time. You know how much strength it takes. And telling someone, listen, when you're tempted with a fitna, just drop your eyes. Oh, just drop. Okay, that's easy, man. Oh, my brother, you'll know it all. You'll know it all. When you're faced with the challenge and you're in it at that time, and you're consumed by that environment, at that time to discipline, control, restrain, manage yourself, behave yourself. So you know what? I liberate you for the pleasure of Allah. And this animal, you can take it. It's a gift to you. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The incident of Zainul Abidin is very famous. When he had asked his slave girl to bring some water, and as she was coming, in that anxiety and gas in the house, she became uneasy, so she slipped and fell. Now sometimes you ask your child, and there are visitors, and you know, either you overhype it, or the child's excitement, or the nervousness, and there the hand slips and it falls, you embarrass, you got to manage your image, you want to discipline, how do you control yourself? So she realized it's the wrong time what has happened, but what has happened has happened. So she started reading the verses of the Quran. And somebody, oh, you want to still teach me Quran now? Oh, you want to teach me? الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. And they swallow their anger. So he said, كَظَمْتُ غَيْظِي وَالْعَفِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And they learned to forgive. So he said, I have forgiven you. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves those that do good. He said, I've liberated you. You know, in the whole campaign of Uhud, I was reading now, the other day in Tafsir. So can you imagine, this whole Uhud took place. And in that there was a little misunderstanding of the Sahaba, and they left the post in which the Prophet of Allah had posted them. But their moving away was a costly affair. It was a very, very costly affair. It cost the whole battle. It cost lives. It cost an eminent victory into an apparent failure. It was a very, very expensive mistake. Very, very expensive mistake. But then Allah told the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, they have made their mistake. But now, you have to bring them close. And the only way to bring them close is forgive them. And don't only forgive them, ask Allah to forgive them, so it patches their heart. And because sometimes you have an ugly moment with someone, then you apologize, but the atmosphere is still a bit tensed. So like, we are talking, but yeah, if we can avoid and choose, use a different door, is always better. You know, so we're there, but we're not there. We attend, but we don't attend. So, O Prophet of Allah, forgive them and ask Allah to forgive them. And then Allah said, consult them. The scholars say, why did Allah tell the Prophet of Allah to consult them again? To regain their confidence and build their self-esteem. That, listen, we made a mistake, but the Nabi of Allah hasn't shunned us. The Nabi of Allah hasn't discarded us. He hasn't put us aside. He hasn't put us aloof. He's still consulting with us. Knowing very well that the mistake they made, they erred, was an expensive exercise. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So, remember me at the time of anger. In one narration it comes that it was mentioned in the previous scriptures. I'll mention one, two things and wrap up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibn Adam, uzkurni heena taghdab, azkuruka heena aghdab. Oh my servant, remember me at the time of intense anger. And on the day of Qiyamah, when my anger will be at its peak, I will remember you and forgive you. Now, just to restrain yourself, to contain yourself. Anger is serious. When the Prophet of Allah conquered Makkah, I'm saying, what did Imam Ghazali said? Don't befriend. You're befriending a person who, someone said, don't befriend a man who's harsh to his parents. If someone is harsh to his own parents, what regard would he have for you? If someone has no regard for his Allah and his parents, what regard would he have for you? When the Prophet of Allah came into Makkah, then he gave general amnesty. But certain people were to be apprehended, nabbed, and they were killed because of their grave and gruesome crimes. Among them was Abdullah bin Khattal. Abdullah bin Khattal, in principle, apparently had embraced Islam. And then the Prophet of Allah had dispatched him to collect zakat. They were official people who were discharged as zakat collectors. So the Prophet of Allah sent him, and with him he sends a slave. He said, you be with him and assist him, and together you do things. So when they came to a place, he said to the slave, you prepare the food, I'm going to collect the zakat and come. So he said, that's fine. There was a young boy, a little young, naive, he fell off to sleep. This person went, and he came back, only to know this youngster is asleep. In that fit of rage and anger, and this happens, we consume, we had a busy day, we came in, the kid is on us, the phone is ringing, things didn't go right, the wife is nagging, things are not, and rather walk away from the situation, and let someone view you as a coward. If you look at the teachings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, if you stand in, sit. If you sit, lying down. I was listening to a program on anger management, and the whole focus on this program was, move into a weaker position. And I said, you're using flowery language to only tell me what my Nabi told me. In other words, disarm yourself, drop yourself. The more aggressive you become, the chances are, the more you're going to vent. And the Prophet of Allah said, if you stand in, sit, and if you sit, lie down. So you're going into weaker postures. And two people were arguing, and he said, I know one word, if they say it, it will be dissolved. And that's A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim, but the devil won't allow them to say it. The devil won't allow them to say it. When Abdullah bin Khattal came, and then he seen the slave sleeping, in a fit of rage he killed him. You can read in Sirat al-Mustafa. He killed him. And then he realized, oh, I have killed him, so my life will be taken. So then he abandoned his Islam. Trace the roots of it, anger. Trace the roots of it, anger. In English they say, 90% of our 10% of our conflict is due to difference of opinion, and 90% is because of the wrong body language. 10% of our, you have a view, I have a view, and it's like couples, they are designed to have differences. It's like, you know, what you like, she doesn't like. It's just like in every couple, that's how it is. You know, it's amazing, but that's how it is. It's just different. Our natures, our inclinations, our passions, our visions are very, very different. And that's the challenge of marrying the two. I told you this, and I say it often. The formula of a happy marriage is not to wed the perfect partner, but to love the imperfect partner perfectly well. The formula of a happy marriage is not to wed the perfect partner, because there is no perfect. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was perfect. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was perfect. But the formula is to love that imperfect, that fallible mortal who's fallible like you, to love them perfectly well. That is the whole achievement. That is the whole achievement. So he killed this person, and then he abandoned his Islam. And then he had slave girls. He used to incite them to sing vile poetry against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was amongst those wretched people who were apprehended in the precincts of the Kaaba, and they were killed right there because of the gruesome nature of his offense. And traced the history of his mistake, it was anger. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. Imam Ghazali said, don't befriend people like this here. So you see so many people, they come to the masjid, calm, easy, cool, relaxed. But when you see the man in his floor and operating, you will look again with that same man. See, that's a sharp tongue, man. It's venom. That's poison coming out. Vulgarity. Old man can talk, man. You cannot tie the two. You can't marry the two. Like that, he speaks one language, but he swears in three languages. A lot of people, they don't speak multiple languages, but they can sway in many languages. They can sway in... What's that? What's that? Different face, different image. So he said, oh Musa, look after yourself at the time of anger. And that's what Imam Ghazali said, don't befriend. The second thing is, when a person is in the battle, and he's with his fellow comrades, and the moment becomes heated and intense and daunting and ferocious, Then at that time I come and I whisper to you and I say, forsake and abandon and flee and your life and things. So that's the time I come and I exploit and I capitalize. And I really come with a flood of thoughts and I come with a flood of ideas and I play havoc in your brain. I play havoc in your brain. I cause chaos. A person is coming out in the path of Allah. And now you think, hey, this is only 1 week down. And I said 40 days. The devil is playing havoc. And the third is when you are sitting and there's a woman sitting. فَإِنِّي رَسُولُهَا إِلَيْكَ وَرَسُولُكَ إِلَيْهَا. Without anybody talking or whispering, I am actively communicating and sending signals to each other. Actively I'm sending signals to each other. She's sitting there, you're sitting there at an airport, you're waiting in a lounge, in a corporate environment, whatever it is there. She's silent, you're silent. But I'm actively sending signals to one another. So those are the three times. And I'm divulging man's weakness only in your kindness because you interceded to me. So we conclude on these notes. What did Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu say? إِنَّ أَخَاكَ الْحَقَّ مَنْ كَانَ يَذُرُّ نَفْسَهُ لِيَنْفَعَكَ وَمَنْ إِذَا رَيْبُ الزَّمَانِ صَدَّعَكَ شَتَّتَ فِيهِ شَمْلَهُ لِيَجْمَعَكَ. Indeed, your true friend, your loyal friend, your faithful friend, إِنَّ أَخَاكَ الْحَقَّ مَنْ كَانَ مَعَكَ وَمَنْ يَذُرُّ نَفْسَهُ. The one who would harm himself to rescue you. And the one who when the trials of time has troubled you, he will fragment himself to gather you. He will break himself to gather you. Abu Raja Utaridi said to his son, Ishab man idha khadamtahu sanak, wa idha sahibtahu zanak. When you serve him, idha khadamtahu, he protects you. When you sit in his company, it beautifies you. Wa in qa'adat bika ma'unatun manak. And when difficulty comes out, he stretches a helping hand to you. Ishab man idha madatta yadaka ila khairin maddaha. When you embark on a noble mission, he supports you. He gives you, oh my brother, good, very good. You're going out in the path of Allah, excellent. I wish I can join you. MashaAllah, you're giving charity, awesome, meritorious, amazing. MashaAllah, you're serving your mom, that's so brilliant. That's so amazing. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the other day I mentioned in one of my talks, I often used to impress on the youth and plea, and I used to, you know, encourage them that earn the du'as of your parents. But the way things have changed, I've now dropped my request to them and I say to them now, just don't hurt your parents. Just don't hurt your parents. Listen, if you go beyond, that's a bonus and you earn their du'as. But now I'm asking, just don't hurt them. If you can't serve them, don't offend them. If you can't win their heart, just don't hurt their hearts. Really, when you see today how youth are doing things, blatant, brazen, arrogant, flamboyant, just loud. Now where's this? My friend is here. They will say anything and everything is blurred. The Prophet of Allah is sitting and then he said that I fell off to sleep and in my dream I seen myself in Jannah. And when the Prophet of Allah seen a dream, it was real. One pious person said to another person, he said, I had a dream like this and I had a dream like that. He said, fear Allah when you awake and don't worry what happens when you're dreaming. Ittaqillaha fil yaqada. Ittaqillaha fil yaqada. Fear Allah when you awake. Yeah, and in a dream, leave it. The dream is dream. Where is our dreams? You know, we want to latch on to, no, I had a dream. Now we know what's our dreams. When we are awake, it's not right. When dream, how it's going to be? Ittaqillaha fil yaqada. Fear Allah when you are alive. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier this year when I was in Paris. I had a talk. It was one of my last talks. It was an Arabic talk in a ladies' talk. Just I completed and then we were having meal and then we were off to the airport. So an Arab brother grabbed me and he said, Sheikh, daqiqa. And he brought his 7-year-old daughter. He said, she had a dream and last night, and please I want you to listen to it. 7 years. Now remember, a 7-year-old child is pure, innocent. There's a difference with ghulam and zakiya. The Quran says purity, cleanliness, innocence. So a little child and she's in a, you know, usual way. So he said to her, please tell the Sheikh, in Arabic he's talking to her, tell the Sheikh your dream. So the girl is saying, Ra'aytu Rabbi Azza wa Jalla fil manam. Sheikh, last night I seen Allah in a dream. Fa'a'tani Rabbi mawzan munawwar. My Allah gave me a fruit, a banana, And it was bright, it was illuminated, it was huge, it was amazing. I've never seen fruit like this. And we were a whole group of us. And then my Allah gave it to me, and my Allah said, eat. And I started eating, and I started eating, and I ate, and I ate. And as I'm listening, I'm crying. And this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam flashes through my mind. It's a hadith of Tirmizi. And Imam Tirmizi said, I asked Imam Bukhari on the authenticity of this hadith. And Imam Bukhari said, this is absolutely authentic. Sa'altu Muhammad ibn Ismail. I took this hadith and I said, this narration has reached me. Muhammad ibn Ismail said, the Prophet of Allah came a little late for Fajr. And the Sahaba waited. That's a separate topic. You know what? Islam teaches us prompt. Islam teaches us time. But not when it comes to nikahs and janazas, when it's salat time. Where's our promptness when it comes to nikah and janazah? Then we wait and then it's delayed. Anyway, the Prophet of Allah was slightly delayed. He came and he said, after completed salah, he said, just remain in your place. I'm tying it up with this girl's dream. Innocent, pure, wholesome. Ra'ayt Rabbi Azza wa Jal. I stood up in the night to perform salah, and in that salah, na'astu, I went into a trance and in a slumber, and in that salah, I seen my Allah. Imam Tirmizi's narration is in Mishkat Sharif in the first volume, and Imam Bukhari endorses the authenticity of the narration. And then, فَإِذَا أَنَا بِرَبِّي تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى فِي أَحْسَنِ سُورَةٍ. And in this prayer of mine, I see my Lord in the most beautiful appearance that I can ever describe. I mean, the Nabi of Allah is saying, and he has the eye and the tongue of experiencing and describing. And then my Allah placed his hand on my chest. And we know that we do not subscribe or associate a limb or an organ to Allah, because the Quran says Allah is not like man. So Allah knows best what it means. And I felt the coolness. Hatta wajadtu barda anamilihi bayna tadiyya. I felt the coolness in my entire body. And then Allah asked me, Fima yakhtasimul mala'ul a'la. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are the angels above you discussing? And I said, oh Allah, they are discussing and they are debating about the great reward that you have kept for those who walk to the masjid. And then my Allah said, oh Muhammad, ask me and it's granted. Imagine that proximity, that closeness, that nearness. And Allah said, oh Muhammad, ask me. And I said, Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'al al-khayrat wa tarka al-munkarat wa hubba al-masakeen. Allah, I ask you to increase the ability of doing good. Allah, I ask you to increase the resistance from evil. Allah, I ask you to instill within me the love of the poor. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمٍ فِتْنَةً. And when you decide to descend a trial or a test or some challenges on the people, Allah, then before that hits and plagues the planet, take me away. So the little girl says, I seen this dream, and then I was given this fruit and I ate it, and me and my friends kept on eating it until we were entered into Jannah. Subhanallah. What an amazing dream, what a wholesome dream. That is obviously a pure and a wholesome condition. So anyway, he says, اسحب من إذا مددت يدك إلى خير مده. When you stretch your hand towards good, then the friend who encourages in you, supports you in it. So I was quoting that narration, the Prophet of Allah said, I slept and I seen myself in Jannah. When I was in Jannah, I heard someone reading Quran. So I asked the Malaika in Jannah, who's reading? They said, this is your companion Nu'man bin Haritha. He reads in Medina and Allah has amplified his voice so it's heard by the Malaika in Jannah. So I asked the Malaika, and why for him? He said, because he's kind to his mother. فَإِذَا أَنَا بِقَارِئٍ يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. And who was this? You say, hey, you know, he reads, it's on national radio, right? You must see on YouTube, oh, it's a big hit. You must see his clip. No, this is a clip in the heavens. Who's listening to him on it? كَذَلِكَ الْبِرِّ وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّهِ. Because he was dutiful, he was kind, he was faithful, he was loyal, he was diligent, he was compliant to his mom. Allah blessed him with that. مَنْ إِذَا مَدَدْتَ يَدَكَ إِلَىٰ خَيْرٍ مَدَّهُ إِنْ رَآ مِنْكَ حَسَنَةً عَدَّهَا وَإِنْ رَآ مِنْكَ سَيِّئَةً سَدَّهَا. On that I will end, that when your friend sees good in you, he tells others about it. My friend has this good. And when he sees evil in you, he conceals it, he covers it, and he takes you aside and he advises you. He doesn't expose you or publicize you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us good to our friends. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with good companions who give us positive influence. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وارزقنا فهما. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا، وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا، وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا، واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير، واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.